King. Would you open your Bibles to John chapter 12? John chapter 12. Thank you, Tammy and Bobby, for ministering to us in song. I'm going to talk to you today about how Jesus has come as a light into the world. How Jesus has come as a light into the world. We're in John chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 46 this morning. John 12, verse 46. So I heard a story about a little boy who wanted to make sure that he would for sure get the Christmas presents that he wanted for Christmas that year. And so he'd already told his parents what he wanted. He'd sat on Santa's lap and told him what he wanted. He had even written several letters to Santa, by the way, to the North Pole. But to make sure, he had one more person he wanted to ask to get these presents. And so who else would he write but Jesus Christ? So he sits down at a desk one day and he gets out his pen and paper and he writes, "Dear Jesus, I love you so much. I really want you to bless me with all the presents that I've asked for this year. I think I should get them because I have been a really good boy all year long." He got to thinking about it though, and deep down he knew he was writing a letter to Jesus, the Son of God. And so he got to thinking, maybe I haven't been a good boy all year. So he scratched that out and he wrote, "Dear Jesus, please send me all the presents because I've been a good boy for 6 months this year." He got to thinking on it and he's like, I'm writing to the Son of God. I don't know if I should be lying about that. So he scratched it out and he said, okay, "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy for 2 months this year." Then he started getting a little disheartened, and he's like, I don't know if I'm telling the truth or not. So he scratches that out, and he says, "Okay, dear Jesus, for 2 weeks this year, I have been a good boy." And the longer that he thought about it, he began to get frustrated. He's like, okay, I haven't been a good boy for 2 weeks. And the conviction began to settle in, and he slams down his pen, and he gets really nervous. He gets really nervous because he really wanted these presents, and he's worried because he wanted to make a good impression. He's thinking, what am I going to do? Well, he looks around the room, and he sees the family nativity set sitting on a bookcase, and he knew exactly what he needed to do. He takes the Mother Mary figurine from the set, plops it down on his desk, grabs his pen, and he begins to write, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, you will send me these presents." I'm sure that we have all missed out before on the purpose of Christmas, that we've forgotten the purpose of Christmas due to all the distractions that come with this time of year. I mean, decorations and get-togethers and shopping and gifts, programs, performances. We can really miss out on Jesus, who came to this world from heaven, folks. God in the flesh, born of a virgin, dwelled among us. For what? We don't have to wonder. We don't have to ask that question. Why would Jesus come? We can know. As a matter of fact, over a dozen times in the Gospels, we see "I have come" statements from Jesus. We see purpose statements from Jesus expressing why he came, expressing mission behind why he came. And his mission and his purpose was so different from what the rest of the world ever expected. And what I've done is I've prepared a half dozen or so messages on why Jesus came. And we've been studying those on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And we've heard messages on Jesus coming in his Father's name. We've heard messages on Jesus coming so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And then last Wednesday night, we talked about how Jesus came so that he might bear witness to the truth. And what I want to do for us this morning is to consider his words in John 12, verse 46. And I want us to read that here right now. Jesus said, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." I have come as a light into the world. John chapter 12 may be one of the saddest chapters in John's gospel account. The reality of Jesus' birth and life was not well received among spectators that were on the earth. Many did not receive him well at all. Many opposed the ministry of Jesus. Many rejected the ministry of Jesus. Many would not believe, even though Jesus would claim to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Many would not believe that he was the Son of God. And folks, it's no different today. It's no different today. Christ was not received well then, and Christ is not received well even in our day today. Imagine this Christmas, okay? I'll put it in perspective for you. Imagine this Christmas, you spend a great deal of time and energy and money and preparation to prepare a really nice gift, the best that you could offer for someone to receive, for someone that you love, and you're excited about it. I mean, you've made all these plans, and the gift is beautifully wrapped, and you place it under the Christmas tree, and on Christmas morning, you decide, I'm going to give this gift to my loved one, and instead of them receiving that gift, instead of them loving that gift, instead of them being thankful for it, they hate it. They reject it. They belittle it or shame it, or worse, they say, I wish you would have never bought it and sent it back with you. How would that make you feel, honestly? How would that make you feel? You may be hurt. You may be saddened. You may be you may feel grieved, or might be like me, somewhat angry that someone would reject such a gift that you love. Not over the gift, but because you love that person so that you wanted to give something to them to show the depths of that love and that devotion to them by giving them your very, very best. Does that make sense? God sent the very best he had to offer. The greatest gift to ever be given, the best that heaven could give, and he gave him to the world. God gave Christ a gift that had been prepared before the foundations of the world. This gift was the most sacrificial thing that God could ever offer, his son Jesus. And many in the world did not receive him, said verse 11, John 1:11. Many did not receive him. God loved the world so much that he would give his only begotten son. But many would oppose Jesus. Many would reject Jesus. Many would shame Jesus, the gift. In John chapter 12, Jesus is in the final chapter of his earthly ministry. When you get to John chapter 13, Jesus is with his disciples on the last night of his life on earth, the night of his betrayal. And in John chapter 12, in verses 12 through 19, Jesus enters Jerusalem. And you know about his triumphal entry. Jesus enters Jerusalem, and he's greeted by this great multitude of people. And they're crying out, and they're waving palm branches, and they're singing Hosanna, praise. That means praise, joy, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And comes into Jerusalem, and he declares among the Gentiles and the Jews alike that he had come to glorify his Father in heaven. And in every way, that's what his life was to be about. And he knew that, and he declared that. And he says, I've come to die on a cross, and I've come to be lifted up before men so that they would glorify my Father. In verse 35 of John chapter 12, Jesus tells his followers, the light himself, Jesus Christ, the light himself is among these people for just a little while longer. And he says, while I'm here, you need to believe on me. You need to walk in my light. You need so that you can be sons of the light, so that you can be followers of God. And in verses 37 through 43, after Jesus makes this grand entrance, after Jesus tells people, multitudes of people, why he had come, the gift given to them, we read in verse 37 that their hearts were hardened and their eyes were blinded. They would not receive Christ. And we read one more message from Jesus to Israel here in verse 46 when he says, and this is almost as, and look at verse 44 actually, says, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Jesus is saying to them, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And that's what his life and ministry was about. In verse 46, he says, I have come as a light unto the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If you would believe on me, if you would follow me, you would not continue in darkness. You don't have to live in darkness, Israel. You don't have to live in darkness, Gentile. You don't have to remain in your sin. You don't have to stay in the dark. You can walk in the light of life, in the light of salvation. And the question on the table is, would they believe? And the answer is no. Many would not believe. Many would not believe until after his resurrection. And that's sad. Jesus in his ministry on earth, there are 36 recorded miracles in the Gospels. He did so many things, so much more than 36, but 36 recorded, with the greatest miracle standing before the people, they would reject him. Jesus showed time and time again that he was the sinless Son of God, and people would respond to him with unbelief. That unbelief is what prompted Jesus to say what he did in verse 46. What I want to do real quickly is share with you three truths concerning Jesus' purpose as being the light that has come into the world. Here's the first truth about Jesus being the light. The first truth is this: the light is personified as Jesus. Jesus is the light. Can you say that? Jesus is the light. He is. Jesus is the light. Jesus says, I have come as a light unto the world. Now, this is not the only time that Jesus called himself the light of the world in Scripture. The word light means to shine or to make clear or to make obvious. In Scripture, we read about how God is light. 1 John 1:5, meaning that God is good, meaning that God is righteous, meaning that God is pure. Light is a part of who God is, and because God is light, so is his Son, Jesus, the light of the world. And just a few chapters before, John chapter 12, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And John 1:9, Jesus is called the true light. So we've heard this before. People have seen this. People have heard this before. And when Jesus says in verse 46, I have come as a light unto the world, Jesus is once again reiterating the truth that light is a person, and that person is Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the only light, the only truth that has always been and always will be. The light from beginning and the light to end and light for all of eternity is the same light that Christ shone, the same light of God radiated from Christ to the world, because Jesus and God are one and the same. Don't miss this truth, folks. Please don't miss this truth. That Jesus is God. Did you hear that? Jesus is God. This is central to what we believe as Christians today. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you don't know God as Father. All right. For he and the Father are one. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, John said, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. John Piper said, what you do with Jesus is the clearest test of what you will do with God. How you respond to Jesus is how you will respond to God. Let me ask you this today. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? When you look into the manger, what do you see? Who do you see? Do you see just a baby? Do you see just a helpless babe? Or do you see more? As Jesus grew and as he lived on earth among humanity, do you see just a man? Do you see just a carpenter's son from a peasant family, from a town nowhere, Nazareth? Or do you see much, much more? Do you see just a man who worked great miracles among people, or who was just a model citizen, or who obeyed his heavenly Father and loved people one was a good teacher of high moral truths, or do you see more? Think about how Jesus was born. Think about how he lived. I want you to think even further. Think about how he died. Do you see just a religious fanatic who's dying for his cause, or do you see a trial that's gone wrong? What do you see? Do you see more? Folks, Jesus is God before us in human flesh. As a baby, he was the light of the world, breathing our air, listening with human ears, entering our world, sharing our pain, walking in our shoes, identifying with us in every single way. Before us as a man, Jesus was the light of the world. So every miracle that he accomplished, every message that he preached, every mission that he accomplished, he was shining light to the truth. And think about how he died, folks. Think about how he died. He shined as a light to the world, even as the darkness of sin and shame and Satan tried to overcome him, his light broke through. Jesus was and is God himself. Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. So the light is personified as Jesus. It was J. Sidlow Baxter. He was an English pastor and evangelist in the 1900s. And he said, fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. He did not merely come to preach a gospel. He himself is that gospel. He did not merely come to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He did not merely come to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not come merely to show us the way. He said, I am the way. He did not come us to show us a door. He said, I am the door. He did not come to merely name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He did not merely come to give us or to point us in the way. Jesus said, I'm it. I am the way. And the way is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh. So when you see Jesus, you have seen God, the light from eternity. Christ is the same light as his Father was. If you look in verses 44 through 45, Jesus cried out and said to the people, he said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him who sent me. Not just believing on Christ, you're believing on God. And he that sent me, he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Jesus Christ came here with a purpose from heaven, and that was to show the world what God is like. So when you see the light of Christ, you have seen the light of God. Secondly, the second truth, we see the light positions the world to see the way to salvation. The light positions the world to see the way to salvation. I want you to look at all of verse 46. He says, I have come as a light unto the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus said, whoever believes in me. Believe, that's a big word. Believe means to commit. Believe means to have faith. Believe means to trust fully, to put your full weight on Jesus. Christ came as a light to position us so that we could walk in his way to salvation, to life. Y'all remember a couple of weeks ago, we had Snowmageddon, right? Right here in Polk County. And how many of you, by show of hands, lost power during Snowmageddon 2018. How many of you were fortunate and you didn't lose power? Yeah, we don't like y'all. I'm kidding. How many of you lost power in the middle of the night? Yes. How many of you roughed it during Snowmageddon? You didn't shower, you didn't shave, and you had no shame about it. Yeah. to some people, and I'm one of these people, to some people, sleeping in the quiet pitch darkness, I can't stand it. Oh my word. You take for granted that power, right? When the power goes out, it's like you just immediately wake up, and it's eerie. It's uncomfortable. You hear each other breathe. It's too quiet for me. You don't realize how comforting it is, you know, to sleep with a fan on. I sleep with a fan on. We have night lights in the hallway, okay? You can hear the refrigerator make this noise, you know, when it's making ice and things. You take that for granted. The second night that we didn't have power, we made sure, because it happened in the middle of the night, so we weren't ready for the first time. But the second night, we didn't have power. We made sure to position candles and flashlights and lanterns throughout the house so that we could see where we were going. That light positioned us to be able to see the path we were going to take. Light was positioned to prepare our way to a certain destination. Well, how about Christ? Why did Christ come? He says, I've come as a light into the world so that people would no longer wander in darkness that is sin, no longer worship darkness that is the enemy, but walk in the light and worship the light who is God. Oh, there's so many who are walking in darkness, aren't there? So many walking in darkness, yet Christ has the power to turn the lights on. They don't know what it's like to have the light. They don't know its benefits. They don't know the blessings of walking in the light, the joy that comes with walking in the light of Christ. For if they did, they would not continue in the darkness. Christ came as a light, as the light positioned so that the world could see the way to salvation. The closer you get to the light, the brighter things become. Think about that in our relationship with Christ. That light leads us to life eternal, and it's found in no one other than Jesus Christ alone. There's no other light than Him. His light is exclusive. There's no other light. I don't care what other people tell you. I don't care what other ideologies or philosophies or religions may tell you. Christ is light, the light. There is no other. He's exclusive. His light is inclusive, meaning that everyone who will believe on Him will no longer abide in darkness or dwell in darkness, but whoever believes on Him will walk in His light. His light is exclusive. It's inclusive. His light is decisive. It's decisive, meaning that eternity is in the balance, meaning that if you don't walk with Christ, you don't walk in the light. You walk in the darkness. This is an eternal reality. Last Wednesday night, I was talking with our folks about how Jesus is the truth. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. That's another decisive statement. So many people in our day don't want Jesus. They don't want to walk in His light. They want some other light. They want another choice. And I shared with those folks, I thought it was worth sharing again, we live in a day that we are blessed, but we are also cursed with too many choices. If you don't believe me, go with my family Christmas shopping one day. See how many choices there are. See how many people are trying to make a choice and they can't do it. Go to a Mexican restaurant and see all the choices there are on the menu. Okay, turn your TV on or your phone on and see your choices. Unfortunately, the darkness has tried to produce more choices to salvation that pose as light. More choices. You want a God for every occasion? Try Hinduism. Try polytheism. Try Greek mythology if you want a God for every occasion. You want Jesus, but a lesser version? You want Jesus, but you don't want Jesus. You want Jesus, but a lesser version? Try on a cult like Mormonism. Try the Jehovah's Witnesses. Try some branches of Catholicism. You want religion, but no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, that's easy. Islam practices that. Buddhism practices that. Judaism practices that. Religion, no relationship. So many choices can lead you astray. I'm thankful that Christ gave but two choices when it came to salvation. Either believe on Him and walk in the light, or don't believe on Him and walk in the darkness. Either He's the light or He isn't. There is no other light. Doesn't matter what the choices are. Doesn't matter what the choices may tell you or promise you. There's nothing but darkness apart from Christ. And there's no other choice, no other alternative. It's His light or it's darkness. Decisive. Christ said in John 8:12, whoever follows me, the light, will have
the light.
Verse 46, if you believe in me, you should not, you will not remain, you will not abide in the darkness. In so many words, Christ is your light, and he came to position himself as the way to salvation, peace, eternal life with God. And what happens when you have a relationship with Jesus? What happens? You're no longer blind, are you, spiritually? But you see, the eyes of your heart are opened up to his truth, and you receive him. Last truth, and I'm done. Truth number three, Jesus, the light, prompts a response. When Jesus makes a statement like this, a response has to be made. It seems that is always the case in Jesus' ministry. When he makes a statement that's so decisive, so exclusive, so inclusive, he says, you need to make a response. Make your choice. How will we, his listeners, respond to such a word? Will we walk in the light, or will we continue to wander in darkness? Now, I've already told you, John chapter 12 is a sad chapter, because we read in verse 37, look at verse 37, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. The light before him, the light before the men and women and children, the light shining brightly before them, about to be raised on a cross for their sins, we read, they turn away. They turn away from him. Yet Christ still prompts us today for a response. Christ still gives us an opportunity today to respond. And here's the reality, folks. I've already prepared myself for it. Here's the reality. Many will not believe. Many will hear and not believe. But Christ came for those who will. Christ came for those who will. Many won't, some will. And I'm asking that today because that's what Christ gives us. That's what Christ says. That's what he prompts us with. That's why he came. Who will believe today? Who will walk in the light of Christ today? Here's the reality. Nothing has changed. Christ still bids us come. Christ still bids us believe. Christ still bids us to walk in the light, because the darkness has nothing for you. Nothing but death, nothing but desertion, nothing but sorrow, shame, and sin, and hell to pay. Yet Christ gives us life. Christ gives us family. Christ gives us joy. Christ gives us eternity. Believe on Christ and be forever changed. He challenges us to be sons of the light. What does that mean? Be a part of his family. Be a part of his family. This is our opportunity today. This is why Christ came. Folks, this is the glorious message of Christmas. The hope of Christmas is found in the statement, we, the world, were in darkness. We were drowned. We were dead. We were condemned in our sin, and we were on our way to hell. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, Jesus, who was the life, and the life was the light of men. Why did Christ come? Why did the baby come? To open the eyes of the blind, to set free the prisoners and captives, and to release those who were in bondage out of darkness. Isaiah 42. Christ came as the light to lead us to life. And now he's asking us today, will you believe? Will you believe? Will you walk in his light? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Those who are singing this song of invitation, y'all come on and be ready. But as they come, I want to ask those with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this honest question, this prompting from the Savior today is this: when the Word of God is preached, when it's proclaimed, when Christ gave a message, and I'm praying that you heard Jesus today, you heard the Word of God today, when Christ preaches a message, he prompts a response. Who needs to come to Christ today? Who needs to walk in the light today? Who needs out of the darkness of sin today? And who needs to walk in the light of our Savior today? The greatest gift of Christmas is Christ Himself. And His light leads us to life everlasting. Father, I pray in this time of invitation that the people in this room and the people listening would respond in faith and obedience to the call to salvation. It's never been clearer. Christ came as the light of the world to draw men to Himself out of darkness and into marvelous light. I pray, oh God, if there are people in our midst today who are wandering, who are lost in darkness, that they would see their way to life is Christ. And I pray today that they would give their heart to Jesus. I pray today that their lives would be changed for eternity. Right now, where they're sitting, right now, where they're listening, they can respond and give their hearts to Christ right now. Maybe there's someone in the room today that's saying, Peter, I'm walking in the darkness, but I want to walk in the light and the love and the life of Christ. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. You can pray right now and ask Christ to come in, and He will receive you. You'll receive Him. Believe on Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who came and died on the cross for your sins and was raised gloriously to life, and who paid the price for your sins and purchased you a place in eternity with Him. If you would trust in Him by faith, He will save you. Maybe today you're saying, Peter, I need to give my heart to Christ. I need to receive the free gift of salvation. Perhaps today this message challenges believers. Are we doubting? Are we fearful? Have we tried to wander away from the light and back into the darkness? You only find peace, you only find hope and comfort in Christ alone. I pray, oh God, today, that if there's someone that needs to respond to this message, they would do so obediently as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand. If you'd stand, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you need to